It has been a blessing to be a part of this conference. My heart has been stirred. These missionaries that we have had here have been special, and I'm excited about how God is going to use in each and every one of them in their respective fields. Aren't you glad there are people still that still love God and are still willing to give their lives to serve the Lord Jesus Christ wherever He may call them? That is a great, great thing that they are willing to do. You know, why do we have missions conferences? What is this all about? The work of missions is all about two facts. One of them is that God is not dead. God is still alive. And the other is God is not done. God is still at work in His world. God is not a God of the past tense. God is a God of the present. You know, a big problem that we have in Christianity today is that we live in the past tense. God did this. I read about this. I used to do this. America was a Christian nation. And we talk about the works of God as if they were all in the past. And we don't have any hope. We don't have any excitement about the future of what God is continuing to do. But God is not a God of the past tense. He's a God of the present, and He's a God of the future. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people that they must believe in Him, the people began to refer to what God had done. For 400 years, God had been silent. He didn't speak to the people. They hadn't heard His voice. They hadn't heard a prophet of God stand up and declare to them the word of God for 400 years. And now all of a sudden, here's a man proclaiming to be the Son of God. And the Jews were having a hard time believing and accepting who Jesus was, who He proclaimed to be. They said, "We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow speaking of Jesus, we know not from whence he is." They said, "Our fathers ate manna from heaven." They were living in the past. They can look back to the past and say, "We saw what this did, but this guy, we don't know." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Jesus is declaring to them, He is not a God of the past. He is a God of the present. The Jews of Jesus' day often referred to the acts that God had done for their forefathers, never to anything in their present life. And Jesus kept telling them, "I'm still at work. God is still at work." That He isn't just a God of the past. He's also a God of the present and the future. Do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe that God is still at work? Do you live in the past? Or do you live with hope and excitement for the future of what God is going to do? Do you believe that God is still at work in this world? Do you believe that God is still at work in this community? Do you believe that God is still at work in your life? And that God can move through your life? Or is everything past tense to you? This is what God used to do. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to motivate you. I want to give you hope and excitement to help you to look toward the future and to understand what these missionaries, why they're going. Because God is a God of hope. He is a God that is still at work. But we can often fall into ruts. We can just go through life as it was. I remember soon after I was saved how excited I was and how much my life changed. I remember pastor coming to me one morning. I was sharing this with the missionaries. And he said, "Chris," back in that time, we had the Sunday school classes in the warehouse in the auditorium. And we had to push the chairs forward and set up the tables around the back and set up the chairs around it to have the Sunday school class. And pastor came to me as an unsaved teenager, or a saved teenager, a recently saved teenager. And he said, "Chris, would you be in charge of setting up the tables for Sunday school?" I said, "Me? You'd let me do that?" I said, "Can I be in charge of taking them down too?" "Sure, why not?" I was just so excited to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your heart? Are you excited about what God has allowed you to do, that you are privileged to serve with Him? That's what these missionaries are here for. Because they're excited about what God has allowed them to do. They have the privilege of going forth and carrying the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the world. We can often live as if the past were the glory days, that the best days are behind us. And that's a trap that the Israelites often fell into. They often refer to God and the works of God in the past tense. But God wants to remind them that He is still active and that their best days are ahead. Look with me this morning in Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43 in your Bibles. In this portion of this prophecy, chapters 40 through 66 of Isaiah is giving hope to a future generation. Isaiah was a preacher that lived some 150 years before the Babylonian captivity. But God revealed to Isaiah about the rise of the Babylonian Empire and that in the fall of the Israelites that they would be brought into captivity. But God also reveals to Isaiah that this captivity is not the end for the nation of Israel, that there is hope for them, that the God of the past, that their God of the past is their God of the present and the future. Look with me in Isaiah chapter number 43 and verse number 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The first thing that we see here is that God is telling these people to forget the past. Forget the past. Look with me in verse 18 again. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Israel was a nation that lived in the past. They were proud of their inheritance. God had done some amazing things for this nation. God had delivered them from Egypt. God had led them through the wilderness. God had defeated all the ites that were around them. God had blessed this nation. They had an amazing past. But at the time of Isaiah's writing, that was some 700 years in the past. To have a frame of reference, Christopher Columbus discovered America about 500 years ago. The bubonic plague was about 700 years ago. That's a long time in the past. And here are the Israelites. They're talking about what God had always done in the past tense. 700 years had passed, and all they're remembering is how God had brought them out of Egypt, how God had led them through the wilderness, and how God had defeated all these ites. And God is telling them now, forget the past. Forget the things that I had done for you. Forget the amazing things that I had done for your forefathers. As Isaiah is preaching, the Israelites are under severe persecution. The Assyrian empire has grown during this time. They're under the threat of the Assyrians, that God is going to lead them off into captivity by the Assyrians. And here Isaiah is telling them that there's a new nation that's going to rise up, the Babylonian Empire, and that indeed the Babylonians are going to carry them off into captivity. They're in trouble. But they didn't know if God was still with them or not. They weren't sure if the same God that was with their forefathers was with them or not. They hadn't seen God do anything closely resembling what he had done for their forefathers. And so God reminds them. He says, look, I am the same God that was with your forefathers. Look with me in verse number 16. He says, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. You can see he is referring back to the escape from Egypt, how God had delivered them. And he said in verse number 16, he maketh a way in the sea. How they crossed over the Red Sea in a path in the mighty waters. And then what happened when the Egyptian army came in after them and were following after them? He says in verse number 17, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. God had defeated them, and now he's telling them in verse number 18, but remember ye not the former things. Yes, I'm the God who did that. I'm the God who delivered your forefathers. But don't worry about those things. Don't remember the former things. Don't focus on these former things. He was the same God that was with them. He was the one that created them. He said in verse number 1 of chapter number 43, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. God is reminding them, I am your God. I have created you. He says that in verse number 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. God is saying, I love you. I'm the God who created you. I'm the God that was with your forefathers. I created the nation of Israel. I have been with you all the time. But forget about those things. Forget about the past. Do not remember. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. This is similar to what Paul said in Philippians chapter number 4, forgetting those things which are past. Have you ever met a Christian, and I'm sure you have, that is always living in the past? They always talk about what they used to do for the Lord, what church used to be like, what our country used to be like. They don't live in the present. Everything is past tense to them. They have no excitement for the future. That was the problem with Israel. They were stuck in the past. And don't get me wrong, the past can be a valuable thing. The past can help us learn about God. It helps us learn who God is and how God works. Our faith is strengthened when we remember what God has done. I often think back to the first time that God taught me about giving to Him. I believe it was in the capital campaign of Possess the Land. And Pastor had been preaching about us considering how much God would have us give. And I was about 18, 19 years old. I was a waiter at Pizza Hut because I got free food, but I did love food. And I didn't make much money. I was a college kid at the time. I was poor. And so Pastor's encouraging us to consider and to think about how much we should give. And I thought, $50, that's a big sacrifice to me. I'll give $50. But Pastor said to pray, so I'll pray about it. And I remember sitting there, I was sitting over here in the auditorium, the old warehouse, about three rows back. And I was sitting there and I was praying and I said, God, what would you have me to give? And He said, I want you to give $500. No, I don't have $500 to give, God. There's no way I can give $500. He said, let me try this again. Let me really clear my head and mind and let me pray, God, how much would you have me to give? And God said, I want you to give $500. But God, I don't have that. And God said, Chris, count your change. See, when I was a waiter, I worked during the lunchtime. There was a buffet, and it was like $5 or $4, something like that. And people would pay a little bit of money, and whatever change was left over, that's what they would often leave on the table for tip. And a lot of the waiters, what they would do is if they had some coins at the end of their shift, they would exchange it for dollar bills. But I was never that way. I was always very frugal. And so I would take all that change, and I just piled it up. If there's a coin shortage, it's because of people like me. And I would just pile all this change up. I had no idea how much was there. And God said, count that change. And I remember going home and I pulled out, I had one of those little coin divider things that you could put it in and it added all up for you. And I put all that money in and I added it all up. And at the end of the day, it was about $500.07, something like that. God gave me just a little bit extra. At first thing, I was surprised that I had $500 that I didn't know about. But the other thing was, God knew. God knew exactly how much I needed. And God encouraged me. Oftentimes when I'm thinking, and God is ministering to my heart, Chris, I want you to give this amount to world evangelism. I want you to give this amount. I often think back to that time because I struggle. I think, well, God, I can't afford that. And God says, remember that? Remember how I did that? And that the past can be a beneficial thing. The problem is when the past becomes how we live. If I went back and I start going, well, God, I gave $500 one time. I live by faith at that point. And everything I do today is based off of that, and I don't do anything else for God today. And that's what happens with many Christians. That's what was happening with the Israelites. They were stuck in the past. They were focused on the past. They were thinking God is only a God that worked in the past instead of a God who works in the present. And so God is reminding the Israelites, forget about the past. Forget about the past. Remember not the things of the past. Why? And He says in verse number 19, behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. God promised the Israelites that He is going to do something new. Forget about the past. The best is yet to come. And that is, it is not going to be one of those little things that we can attribute to man or to luck or even to God, because He says in verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? It's going to be obvious. This is not going to be something small where we can go, that might have been God. That could have been God. Or that could have just been certain. No. God says, you're going to realize this. When I do this thing, there's going to be no doubt about the fact that I was with you. The fact that I was blessing you. The fact that I was doing this work. God says, I'm going to do a new thing, and it's going to be an amazing thing, just like their forefathers experienced when they left the place of Israel. What is He going to do? Look in verse number 2. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God said, I'm going to be your protector. Yeah, the Assyrians are around you. Yeah, the Babylonian Empire is going to be big and they're going to cause problems to you. But I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be the one to protect you. Yes, the other nations are going to be destroyed. But I'm going to protect you even as you're carried off into captivity. He said he would lead them and he would guide them and that he would be with them. In verse number 5, he says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Yes, you're going to be scattered. Yes, you're going to be taken to all the ends of the world, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you, and I'm going to bring you all back together. See, many of these other nations that the Babylonian Empire destroyed as they were carrying them off to captivity never returned back to their homeland, but not God's people. God was with his people. God was protecting his people. And God said, I'm going to do a new thing. I will be with you. I will guide you. He says in verse number 19, he says he's going to be their provider. He says, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Just like he did for his forefathers, their forefathers. Just as they wandered through the wilderness for the 40 years and God fed them with manna from heaven. He brought water from the rocks. He says, I'm going to provide your needs. I will be with you. God is going to do something amazing for them. Do you understand what he's trying to tell the people here? They were living in the past tense and God says, I'm not done. I'm continuing to work. I'm going to do a new thing. Everything that he had been, everything that he had done for their forefathers, he would do for them as well. God is still God. He was still at work in their lives. He would do a new thing. He would work in their lives. Not something new as in something that's never been done before. But God was simply stating that he is not done working. God is still alive. God is still at work in his world. That he isn't a God of the past. He isn't I was. He is I am. That is who our God is. He is the God of the present. He is the God of the future. He is the God that is still at work in this world. That is why missionaries are going out. Not because God did this in the past. It's because they have hope in what God is going to do in the future. They believe that God is still at work in this world. Do you? Do you believe that God is still at work? Or is everything past tense to you? Is everything, oh, God used to do this? God used to work this way. Or do you have excitement and hope for the future that lies before you? That is why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was moving forward. He was moving towards something. He wasn't looking back because God is a God who does new things. He is still God and he is still at work. Can I encourage you today? Look forward. God is still at work in this world. The same God that saved 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost is still the same God we serve today. There's no reason he can't do the same thing today. God is fully capable of saving 3,000 souls this day. God is still God. The same God that used Paul and Adoniram Judson and David Livingston and Charles Spurgeon and Dwight Moody and all the great heroes of the faith is still the same God that is at work. He wants to do a new thing through your life. He still wants to use you. Stop living in the past. Forget about the past. You never know how God is going to use you. He might use you to reach a whole city. He might use you to reach some Ethiopian out in the desert. Or he might use you to encourage some teenager that is lost and comes to church. And because of your encouragement, they get saved and they end up missionaries going to Uruguay, South America. That is how God is still at work. And God can use every single one of us in different ways. For those of you who minister to me, that's your testimony that God used you. God was still at work through your life. No one who met me knew how God would work in my life. In fact, the vast majority never thought I would end up being a missionary or pastor. That's what God does. God takes the simple things to confound the wise.
God takes the foolish things for his honor and for his glory. And God wants to use you. And God wants to use me. No one knew me. No one thought I would ever be where I am. And there's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about any one of these missionaries that are here. They're just available. They're saying, God, I'm willing to go. They believe that God is still at work. They believe that God is still alive. Question is, do you believe that? I believe that there are young people in this service this morning who God wants to use as pastors and missionaries. I truly believe that. I believe there are people here this morning that God says, I want to use you. I want you to carry the gospel because he's not dead. He's still at work. Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to obey him? Are you willing to give up the niceties of this life because there's value in one soul? Are you willing to give a lifetime of labor to reach one soul with the gospel of Jesus Christ? He is still at work, and he wants to use you. So why doesn't he? Why isn't he working through your life right now? Look with me down at verse number 22 in chapter number 43. The first word, but. God says, I want to do a new thing. I want to use you. But what happened in verse number 22? But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me. Instead of seeking God, instead of honoring God, instead of obeying God, they lived in sin. As it says in verse number 24, he says, thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. They wore God out with their sins. You see, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants to work in and through your life, but you need to do your part. You need to seek God. You need to obey God. You need to seek to live in holiness. We often miss out on seeing God work because of our sin, because we are living in sin in our lives. We're living for ourselves instead of what God has for us. Our lives don't reflect to the lost world what God desires for us to reflect. Look back at verse number 10. He says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. God had chosen the people of Israel for one purpose, to show the world around them how great he was, how wonderful he was, so that they could be a witness that God is real, that he is the only Savior. They were to be his witnesses, but they were living in sin. God has placed his hand upon us. We are to be his witnesses. We are to be the ones that are a light to this lost and dying world, to show them the difference that God makes in a life. But the problem is often we're living in sin. And we aren't the witnesses that God wants us to be. See, God wants to do a new thing. God is still at work. God still is alive, and he wants to do amazing things to our lives. But oftentimes we quench his work because we live in sin. Let me ask you, dear friend, do you have hope? Do you have excitement? When's the last time that you could say, God did this in my life? But aren't you grateful that with God there's always hope? Amen. Man, even when we mess up, even when we fall short, there is always hope with God. Look with me in verse number 25. He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. God says, I want to use you. I have great plans for you. I will do a new thing, but you've messed up. You're in sin. But that's not the end of the story, because I can still make this right. You can get right with me. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you can be made right. And guess what will happen? Then God will use us, and God will do mighty things through our life. That is who God is. And that's what the work of missions is all about. It's about the fact that God is God and He wants to work in this world. He is still alive. He is still at work. And He wants to use you. You. And He wants to use me. What an amazing God He is. But we have to do our part. We have to be right with Him. And that starts first at the point of salvation. 20 years ago, sitting in a back row, I heard the gospel for the very first time. Now, I didn't understand it. There was some old crazy guy talking about stuff. That guy. And I didn't understand the message, but he did say, if you're not here and you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, I'd like to pray for you. I thought, I'm a good guy. My parents raised me right. I'm a good kid. But I'm not 100% sure. I think so. But I'm not 100% sure. Sure, you can pray for me. That was the start of God working in my life. And if you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure, you can be. God can forgive your sins. He says, just come to me. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I will forgive you of your sins. And a great thing is even after you're saved, we can still mess up. We do still mess up. We still do sin. But God says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He makes us right again. Why? So we can be His witnesses. So He can use us to do a new thing. Aren't you glad that God is still at work? Aren't you glad that He is still doing a work in this world? And that there's men who are willing to give their lives, families who are willing to surrender, ladies who are willing to sacrifice so that they can see God do a new work in Brazil, in Gambia, in China, in Philadelphia, in Uganda, in all the world that we support missionaries. God is still at work. But He's still at work here too. And He wants to use us here in South Riding, Virginia as well. He wants to use you in your neighborhood. Maybe God won't call you to go to the Gambia, but He's already called you to go to your neighbor. He's already called you to go to your community and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to say, God, do a new thing through me? I am yours. That's what the work of missions is all about. God is not dead, and God is not done. He is still at work in this world.